With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Just last month, I was at a family farm in Cannon Falls, Minnesota, where I met with corn and soybean farmers who are facing escalating costs this planting season. Many of them said stubbornly high fertilizer prices have been an issue for years in a market with little competition. Some of them were able to lock in before the war, not knowing it was going to happen, but others now are even in worse shape.
Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar at a Senate Ag Committee hearing on fertilizer. It comes as farmers start to face continued pressure on phosphate fertilizer prices. Mosaic reviewing its production plan and beginning partial curtailments in the U.S. and Brazil. Company says sulfur prices recently hit record levels, which tightens margins for phosphate production. Mosaic reported a first quarter net loss of $258 million. Phosphate sales volumes reached 1.9 million tons, but the segment posted a $48 million operating loss as raw material cost increased by $280 million. Pressure not evenly distributed across the whole company. Potash performed better, operating earnings of $177 million, as higher prices helped offset higher production cost. Mosaic still expects about 9 million tons of potash production this year, but Brazil remains another weak spot, as that part of the business posted a $422 million operating loss. Company now expects capital spending of $1.25 billion, deferring less urgent projects. China's soybean buying, though, is shifting hard towards Brazil. It's leaving U.S. shipments at risk of slowing as South America's record crop reaches export channels. Retired USDA economist Dr. Fred Gill says China imported about 312 million bushels of soybeans in April, more than double the March volume. Brazil's role expanding quickly. He says Brazil shipped a record 425 million bushels of soybeans to China in April. USDA estimates that crop at a record 6.6 billion bushels. Of course, for U.S. producers, concern is timing. U.S. has shipped about 393 million bushels to China since that last October Trump-Xi summit, when China reportedly pledged to buy about 441 million bushels. But U.S. corn growers may have a new export opportunity in Thailand after U.S. suppliers and Thai buyers signed a memorandum of understanding to support future corn trade. U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council President and CEO Ryan LeGrand says Thailand currently buys no U.S. corn. He says meaningful Thai purchases have been absent for years, and the country has not imported more than 100,000 metric tons of U.S. corn since the early 2000s. They last reached about 20 million bushels in the mid-90s. But the new agreement could change that. He says they're ready to buy at least 1 million metric tons, or 39 to 40 million bushels, with annual needs closer to 118 to 157 million bushels.
And so I think they're keen to do that and much more in working to right the trade deficit that we have.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Agriculture Today.
In terms of energy, Google pays for 100% of the electricity and infrastructure that we need to serve our operations. We think that's table stakes, right? I think that's what people expect of us, and it's what we do.
Energy and resource usage by data centers. Liz Schwab is Google's data center development lead.
But we go further. We invest in the shared system of the electric grid that we all rely on. So we invest in energy efficiency and weatherization programs and in partnership with our utilities and state agency partners. We invest in new clean technologies to accelerate, things like new nuclear or geothermal or long duration battery storage. These are really critical technologies for American competitiveness. And to make sure we're building the energy infrastructure that the country needs. All of that investment helps to modernize the grid on our dime, right? Instead of the average residential ratepayer. Just a little context on why that's important. For decades, the U.S. has underinvested in the grid because we had basically, flat electricity load growth. But of course, in recent years, that has completely changed. So we need to invest in our grid, and data centers are helping to accelerate that.
There are plenty of residents, though, that are concerned. So what do they need to know?
I think citizens in these communities should make sure that they and their local leaders have a strong understanding of the benefits that the project will bring, whether that's tax revenue, pilot payments, community benefit arrangements, however the locality structures that, they need to make sure they understand that, right? What is the community getting in exchange for having and hosting a project, right? Beyond that, then you want to understand, okay, what's the energy and water story here, right? What's the plan? How do we make sure that this is sustainable and durable for the long term? Make sure that it doesn't have any impact, right? So, for instance, if Google were coming to an area, we would be investing in any new infrastructure needed, right? So those types of things should be table stakes. What will the site look like, right? There's a lot of influence that local leaders have in the development process for what the site should look like, right? Where will the buildings be situated, and what type of buffering and, foliage or berms or other things might be needed? Or maybe it's rural enough that you don't need those, right? Every site's a little different. But those are all the types of questions that folks can ask and should have solid answers to as they head into these local conversations and approval processes.
At least when it comes to the Google data centers, where can you find more information?
Yeah, absolutely. So google.com/data centers will provide more information than anyone could ever want to read. But you can click around to see where we have sites. You can click in to see what our water strategy and stewardship approach is. You can learn about the different approaches to energy. And then just see how other locations, right, around the country or the world have experienced Google data centers. We've got lots of fun videos on there and, testimonials to some of the partners we've worked with for a few decades that can help to put this in context.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
The effects and the impact of climate change are real.
Interesting exchange between Connecticut Representative Rosa DeLauro and the administrator of the EPA, Lee Zeldin, in an appropriation subcommittee hearing.
You probably did see the report on Antarctica and the glaciers and melting and all this. It was an extraordinary documentary over this past weekend. This is an administration that is hell-bent, in my view, on ignoring science. Just 2 weeks ago, you reportedly attended a climate deniers conference. And in your remarks, you said, quote, "For those who wanted to criticize my appearance here before this group, it really shows the desperation of just how many walls have collapsed of this last line of defense," end quote. In Connecticut, we have seen increasing heat waves, extreme precipitation, devastating floods, impacting everything, farming, school closures, damaging homes and businesses. Climate change is harming our health and our environment, but is also harming Americans financially. This administration, however, is running the playbook on making the problem worse, focusing on policies that are handouts to the fossil fuel companies, like reversing the 2009 greenhouse gas endangerment finding, rolling back fuel emission standards for motor vehicles, and reducing methane leak monitoring requirements. The budget proposal reads like a climate change deniers manifesto. When climate change is flooding our streets, poisoning our air, driving up health care and disaster costs, how can the EPA justify abandoning that duty to protect Americans to appease polluters under the false flag of economic growth?
Following the law, Section 202 of the Clean Air Act, where does it say anything about fighting global climate change? Loper Bright, Supreme Court case. You familiar with it?
No, I maybe others are. I'm not, but let me ask.
But that's really important. As a member of Congress, Loper Bright says that we as an agency don't have the authority to get creative. If Section 202 of the Clean Air Act.
No, but you don't have, excuse me, you do not have the right to say climate change does not exist, that it's a hoax, and that's where this administration is coming from.
I understand you're upset that you don't know what Loper Bright is. Do you know what the major policies doctrine is?
I'm upset because.
You know what the major policies doctrine is?
You know what, let me just.
You're a member of Congress. You should know.
Well, you have moved from someone who defended the environment to all of a sudden
being very defensive about not knowing the two biggest landmark Supreme Court cases of the last year with regards to your question.
You are very defensive about changing your policy and your positions with regard to the environment.
Okay.
Now, you just tell
me. You want
me
to tell you what the two biggest Supreme Court cases are of the last few years?
This is what I want you
Michigan
to tell
versus
me.
EPA.
Whoa.
West Virginia versus EPA.
You know, you're here because you need money from us. So halt for the second. And wait for the questions and answer the questions.
Well, I answered your question.
No, you didn't.
You didn't like my answer because you don't know what Loper Bright is, because you don't know what the major policies doctrine is.
Chairman,
because you're asking me, you're asking me about Section 202 of the Clean Air Act, and you don't read it. You don't know what it says.
Listen, and what you want to do is to deny.
No, I actually read the law. I do my homework.
Really?
You're just somebody who likes to have the microphone on. You know what I have to do? I read the law.
No,
I read
Chairman,
the Supreme Court cases.
I don't have to listen to this, and I would say
no.
This,
you, what you should do for your constituents is actually read statute.
This budget is at real risk.
Read
Let
your Supreme
you.
Court.
This is the Appropriations Committee.
Oh, you're,
you
you're
come
gonna,
here.
You care about
you
science. Now you're threatening to defund it.
Oh my God! No, you don't fund
because
science.
You don't know what Loper Bright is. Because
deniers.
You don't know what the major policies
you
doctrine is. Your
deniers.
Message to our folks at the EPA is that you want to defund us.
I don't have to listen to this BS.
The BS. You think I made up these cases?
Yeah, I think you have made up a whole
I made up Loper Bright. I made up West Virginia versus EPA. I made up Michigan versus EPA.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
We have two membership meetings that we do on an annual basis, as you mentioned, in February and in July. It provides our members an opportunity to give input on our plans, especially those A-team members are able to help with strategy. From there, we go out and we deploy that work, deploy that strategy to increase exports of grains and ethanol.
Ryan LeGrand is CEO of the U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council on the success of exports.
Well, what really stands out to me right now are corn and ethanol exports. So last year, we broke a record in corn exports to the world, north of 70 million tons, and now we are on pace to break that record. We're actually 30% above last year's pace year over year, same time last year. So corn exports are going extremely well. I mean, the price is right for the customer, not so much right for our American farmer, but it is moving largely on price. Ethanol is a similar story. The last 2 years, we've broken records, and these are all crop year. We measure from September to August, so your typical crop year. And last 2 years, again, we broke a record. We broke the 2 billion gallon mark. For the first time in history for ethanol exports. And this year, we now find ourselves 13% ahead of that pace compared to the same period last year. So currently, and if things hold, on pace for 2.4 billion gallons of exports of ethanol. So those are the two that really stand out to me.
And then there's Mexico.
Mexico's such a great partner, such a great customer of ours. Obviously, the proximity helps both of our nations when it comes to cross-border trade. But they just purchased, I think, over 26 million tons of corn last year. They purchased, were our first billion bushel customer to a single destination. First country to ever buy a billion bushels in one export season from the United States. And that's going to animal feed. There's a small percentage of it, I'd say, about 3 million tons or so goes into the starch and sweetener production. The rest is virtually all animal feed. So we expect that to continue to grow as Mexico's middle class grows, as they export their beef and their poultry and their pork products around the world. We expect that demand south of the border to continue to grow.
It's a picture of success.
Mexico's played a huge role in my entire career, really. I got started as a trader to Mexico and did that for 15 years before coming over to the council and actually lived in Mexico for a total of 10 years. So that market, that country, the people of Mexico are always going to have a special place in my heart. And I would say that, you know, the thing that sticks out to me the most, the thing that I get most excited about in Mexico is just the continued growth. Our countries are so complementary of one another that when we do well, Mexico does well. And then and then we're served, by increased goods, and other products coming from Mexico. So it's just a very nice, I would say two-way relationship that we enjoy. And that's what I love to see is the trade, you know, barley. We haven't talked about barley in this interview. That's a perfect example of cross-border trade. We ship malted barley down to Mexico, to the breweries, and they turn that into Corona and Pacifico and Modelo, and they ship that right back up here. So I can think of no better cross-border trade example than that one right there.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is Agriculture Today.
I think there has been a lot of noise made about nothing.
Don Close is a senior protein analyst with Terrain on that recent reversal in the Choice Select spread.
And I say nothing because if we go back in history at all, a shift or an inversion in the Choice Select spread was clearly a red flag that we were seeing softer demand and that consumers were looking for a way to cheapen up. However, at the time frame that was a market driver, the breakdown of the grading percentages were pretty close to 50-50. You know, we were roughly 60% choice and better and 40-45% select. The overwhelming majority of retailers at that time carried a select-based product. That has totally changed. Today, the percentage of choice and prime carcasses, or choice and better, are consistently above 80-82%. The percentage of prime in that mix historically was 2-4% of total supply and is now consistently in excess of 10%. As that choice and better percentage has escalated, the percentage of select graded carcasses has gone from, as I've said, 40%, and it's typically in a range now of 10-12%. So when we've seen the inversion and we've had an abnormally narrow spread throughout the spring, but it's driven by the quantity of product offered. It's not an apples to apples comparison. We're talking 80% plus of choice and better, and only 10-12% of that product being select. And there are still natural uses for select product. A lot of the frozen food entrees in the grocery store is still pre-cooked product, still derived or made with select product. A lot of institutional hospital use is still select product. So there is an avenue for that product. It's way smaller than it used to be. Another really critical component to this story. You know, we were still seeing a mix of choice and select product offered at retail as we went into the whole COVID experience of 2019 to 2022. And if you'll think back to that period, we went through that period where restaurants were forced to close or provide carry out only. Packers in a very short window of time had to find a way to get that prime product that was going to the restaurant trade and get it to retail. They did an excellent job of that. But what that did is consumers were seeing the upper two thirds of choice and prime product showing up at the retail grocery stores and the price that product was selling at, they quickly determined that they could be having a white tablecloth restaurant meal at home for essentially half the price as they are paying if the restaurant were open to provide it. That opened the floodgate. That forced a higher quality of product across the counter and retail stores across the board, and that demand for that higher quality product at retail continues today. So that's the backstory going on there.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
The Department of Commerce continues to work around the clock to implement President Trump's America First trade policy.
Testifying before a House subcommittee on appropriations, Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick.
Under Section 232, the Commerce Department is taking action on steel, aluminum, copper, pharmaceuticals, autos, semiconductors, and investigating other sectors to protect, reshore, and revive manufacturing. These actions have led to multi-billion dollar commitments to reshore steel and aluminum manufacturing and restore American excellence in critical industries. In the first year of his second term, President Trump has dramatically reduced the trade deficit, lowering imports and increasing exports. Exports went to $3.4 trillion, which is a 6% increase from 2024. And in 2025, the trade deficit was the lowest we've seen in 16 years. I'm proud of the role I played in negotiating our most important trade agreement, including the largest deal ever done, which was our trade deal and investment deal with the European Union. BIS is working hand in hand with the Department of Health and Human Services. We've arranged historic agreements to lower drug prices for American consumers, negotiating most favored nation deals, and ensuring Americans pay the lowest prices for innovative medicines. As a result of these deals, additionally, we have secured over $400 billion in commitments to reshore pharmaceuticals and manufacturing in America, those key pharmaceuticals. The budget includes a $215 million increase to BIS above the 2026 enacted level, which supports the hiring of hundreds of new special agent law enforcement officials to address the theft of American technological leadership by bad actors. These officers are critical to protecting and defending America's innovation. In ITA, we are driving record foreign direct investment, cracking down on harmful foreign trade practices, and supporting our 1.3 million American jobs with export and investment deals. In 2025, ITA helped Boeing, Wabtec, and other major American companies secure a record $244 billion in contracts with foreign public buyers. This exceeds the $17 billion that the Biden administration did in its first year. The budget includes a $10 million increase to the 2026 enacted level for trade enforcement in ITA and $100 million for the United States Investment Accelerator. The budget slashes unnecessary wasteful spending at NIST and other groups and eliminates the manufacturing extension partnership, which I'm sure we will talk about. At the USPTO, we are rapidly modernizing and leveraging technology to cut classification prep dramatically. We want to get rid of the massive backlog that we had and do a much better job. And finally, we have launched a new era of modernization of NOAA, where we're in the process of transferring the agency's IT system from a decades-old hardwired technology to the modern distributed cloud. This update will improve our forecasting capabilities, transform the way our forecasters do their jobs, and will make Americans safer. The budget also includes a $135 million increase to the 2026 enacted level for NOAA shipbuilding and our improvement of unmanned systems programs. For far too long, our nation was mired in status quo, leaving American consumers and producers alike with unfair, poorly implemented trade deals, outsourced jobs, and paltry investments that failed to meet our country's potential. President Trump is committed to ushering in a golden age of domestic commerce and bringing jobs back to the United States, and that's exactly what he's done in his first 15 months of this administration. I look forward to working with you as the department continues to spur economic growth and secure unprecedented prosperity for the American people.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.